that.
because there's quite a bit of a combination, or what would you, it's a crossover between doing sound, any kind of sound, and doing networking these days. And so you could be a super duper sound guy for being the networking guy. There's a guy named Phil Reynolds. I forget where Phil lives. I think in Arizona somewhere. But he has a company that's what he does. He specializes in networking for audio systems, and he does some really serious networking, and he makes a living doing networking for audio systems. So you
That's
could do
what
the
I'm
same.
looking at. That's essentially what I'm looking at, particularly after, well, I mean, the one thing that blew my mind was just how adept Magu is inside of Map and Compass, right? I mean, Map, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. That's this, decision tool that Myers provides, and you can set up arrays and you can see how much, red there is, and you can see the dB loss in a room and all that. And then they've got Compass, which basically, either from Map or separately in Compass, you basically put all of your data into your Galileo, box, and then it gets sent out to the array.
Yeah,
But
every speaker manufacturer these days sort of has to have one of those prediction software packages. So you'd be surprised how amazing they are.
Yeah, I took a look just before. I kind of wanted to prepare, so I took a look at D&B's, the German company. Took a look at they've got a lot of content up on YouTube, just on general array theory, and then obviously they dig and they get very precise with their own products. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. And his and Magoo did this thing at the very end where, he had a whole bunch of mics lined up in the center axis of the room, and then he combined the mics, and then we were looking at these different graphs with frequencies, that are hitting, and what the dB is, and the alignment, of the phase alignment and the bottom graph. It was fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
It's fascinating. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I
201 Zoomcasts under our belt. And here you are. We're talking about 40 nanoseconds of clocks. Unbelievable. That is a snippet of there. Anyway, just remember, everything you hear today is an opinion. Welcome to our Zoomcast, Thinking Out Loud with Friends. We're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about, because that's the way it goes. And I want to thank everybody for being here. And Wayne, thank you very much for pointing out we did 200 shows. I mean, I was so excited about the 200 shows that I forgot to post the podcast up to social media, as well as I didn't send you out the show notes. So you'll get the show notes today after this, and then we'll get the this week's show up sooner than last week, because last week's not up. So there you go. Anyway, remember, you make it happen. Let's make it happen today. Today's theme is I'd rather have it and not need it, rather than need it and not have it. And in this case, we're talking about clocks. So there you go.
That's one of my favorite sayings, Jan, and it usually refers to audio equipment that's being offered for a show I'm working on.
Well, in
Or
my case, I was
somebody
thinking
says, "Oh,
about.
do you want these cables? Do we need these?" I was like, "Yeah, we'd rather have it not need it than need it not have it," you know?
That's right. I was thinking about toilet paper when I came up with it, but that's another story. So what the hell?
That's
Let's
well,
see.
so the
So
main question about toilet paper is over or under?
there. Well, if it's not over, I'm done. That's it,
Had to put it in my ears the other day.
All right,
Oh,
David,
really? What?
you're back off the boat in a car in St. Louis. Yeah, he's nodding. You
Yeah.
got
Well,
on the
St.
internet.
Louis, you caught the street sign. I didn't catch
Take
what the sign was.
8377 beyond to Lindbergh Boulevard.
Oh,
Very
well,
good.
am I muted? Can you guys hear me?
Now
You're
we
going to
got
be
you. Now we
muted if
got
you
you.
do that again. With the if you do that again, I will mute you for sure. I will mute you. So don't
What
do it
can I
again.
do?
You played your GPS coordinates.
Well, I'm in the
Make a
car
left, make
driving
a
here.
right.
There's a black
So,
truck
Bob,
parked
I
at
can't do anything about that.
8377 down to Lindbergh
But yes,
Boulevard.
I'm on my way to Marion, Illinois. Just left Lambert Airport. in St. Louis, and Charo's in the back.
Oh, hey, hi, Charo. She's sleeping. Let her
yeah,
sleep.
Yeah, she's up all night packing and stuff. And there's Patrick, yeah, our musical director, and
take the manager.
And turn Patrick driving.
And we're going to Chili's to have dinner because Charo loves Chili's and I love Chili's.
You know, I'll tell you one of the craziest
he's
things.
Gonna make
you
a scene in Chili's, man.
To South Kirkwood Road towards Kirkwood.
You have the audio thing on for the maps, and I despise those audio instructions.
Why do you despise that, Jen? Come on.
Because it constantly doesn't let you listen to anything else other than that. So it's like every second or so, bear left here, do this there, blah, 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 and it repeats itself.
That's why I put my GPS with a female Australian voice, and I'm sure Wayne will be delighted to know that. All right, let's go. You know, and I love it. It's not nearly as awful as kind of the regular old Google GPS lady. I really love it. It's fantastic.
You can get the
personally. I do it without the voice because the voice is really, like you said, it's very repetitive.
Yeah, and there's no, you know, when I drive, I like to turn my car into a classroom. So I listen to podcasts of all sorts of things that I want to learn and where I want to keep them, you know, like or the news or comedy. One of the things I like right now is there's a lot of comedy on podcasts. Some of it is really good. I mean, I like listening, believe it or not, I like listening to Bill Maher. It's political comedy, but his podcast is really good. I mean, you know, it's part of the show. His, I forgot what it is. What's Bill Maher's show is called?
I can't remember, but he's had some pretty darn funny moments.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he's bringing in, you know, people from different walks of the political spectrum to talk to one another. And it seems that they get along pretty well on his show. And there's a lot of humor, you know. My favorite guest is when he has Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show. I love that guy, you know, really, really cool guy. You know,
Real Time with Bill Maher is his TV show, but is his podcast the same name?
Yeah, it's Real Time and Overtime.
Oh, I think that's it. Yeah, it's Overtime. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so it has. So basically, he's on CNN, and CNN lets him do the podcast, or HBO lets him do the podcast. He's on both. So, you know, pretty cool. Anyway, so speaking of that Australian female voice, the LGBTQ, all sorts of thing is going on right now, man. I hear that Thailand just made gay marriage is legal here. I don't know if that's true or not, but then again, you know, there's all sorts of things going on, and that's really good. But anyway, what did you guys want to keep talking about the clocks?
Well, I don't know. Coldplay, where's David Coldplay going with my jacket?
Coldplay wrote a song about it.
I guess they were talking about their Big Ben in their studio, and they said, "Oh, let's write a song about the Big Ben clocks."
Yeah. Clocks, there it is. That was it. Was actually about all of that, and they just, you know, I was never supposed to tell, but okay, cat's out of the bag.
Great.
Yeah, you know, Coldplay right now is like the number one tour out there. He's making more money. They are making more money than any other tour out there because Taylor Swift is now off the road. So Coldplay has taken over that position.
Look, hi Charo. Look at Charo. Look at that. Yeah.
Well, the way we have it set up.
Here she is.
Tacos.
The speaker's on.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Hi, Charo.
I
didn't hear anything.
No. Probably you put silent.
No, I don't know.
They're good looking. They are very good looking.
I got the volume up.
Like, hey, they look at that. They're fat. Okay.
Are you guys going to eat now?
We coming into Chili.
Why can't I hear anything? Put this back in.
We hear you, David.
Can hear you.
I don't know if you can hear me. Yeah,
in Missouri.
He's in Australia.
In Australia.
He's in Thailand.
Oh, my God.
He's in L.A.
L.A.
And we are in St. Louis.
And we're in St. Louis.
Well, I'm glad you're in St. Louis rather than Baltimore. That's for sure.
We got me into Chili's.
So we're going to Chili's, Charo's favorite restaurant.
Excellent. Right, well, have fun. Have a nice meal.
I'm going back to mute.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that's a nice surprise. Yeah.
That was great. We had a celebrity in Jan's room. Isn't that amazing?
Come on, you're here all the time, Ken. What are you talking about?
Hey, Kurt, there's you got another celebrity right there, Kurt. Kurt Hare, baby. There you go.
That's
We're full of celebrity.
Full of celebrity.
Coming from down under, Wayne Sims, ladies and gentlemen, truth be told, he's a
Kurt,
celebrity
did you
in
hear,
his own mind.
So Christopher was telling us he attended the, what's that called, systems optimization seminar?
I went to the two-day thing and actually ran into one of the guys that comes up from L.A. to work with you. I can't remember his name, but he was
Phil. Yeah, I had Meyer let him in.
Yeah, so it was a good, excellent course. So I'll give you just a quick summary. We kind of got sidetracked earlier, but I asked Magoo specifically about switching all of this stuff and how it's working and what's going on. So sort of the bottom line is that if you're going to use Rio, you need a master clock, and everybody, all of the other Rio devices slave off of the master clock. When audio comes over Rio into either an LFC 2100 or into a Panther element.
It's not, there's no Rio involved. It's all Milan.
Just in another place. I'm further south. We'll come back to Northern Pasta. So basically when Rio receives a packet, it throws off the frame and it assembles PCM, you know, wave, takes a slice, and hands it to the amplifier. And so obviously Magoo during the whole training course is, you know, talking milliseconds and timing in the bus and trying to align. And, you know, when you send one channel off for processing and bring it back in, it may not be lined up correctly and so on and so on and so on. And so it's the clock. And then Ken was just saying that he was listening to another podcast where these guys were using Big Ben or some other clock with a GPS antenna to get a very, very granular, precise clock. And then that lines up all of the array elements and allows them to basically hand those slices to the amp at the same time.
Well, that conversation we were in was about consoles and trying to clock throughput and come up with a way to make the latency between channels and plugins and everything coherent in real time. When it's a software that doesn't exist but should, basically, it's a standard that should be in digital consoles that no one does. So that was that conversation that Ken and I were both in on. I know of nobody who is concerned with clocking Milan drive to the PA because it's all leaving the device that it's generated from at the same time.
That's physically impossible in a switch. I'll tell you right now, it's absolutely.
What do you mean by switch?
Well, if Milan is an Ethernet packet arriving, so you basically stick Ethernet cables into the back of your Panther elements,
sure,
and put them into a switch. So even if you use UDP multicast, which is basically a fire and forget in the IT world, UDP, you fire a packet, the switch knows that that packet is actually destined for 12 of its ports, and it throws that packet out the ports and sends it to the device, which would be a Panther element. There is no way on God's earth that you can guarantee that those packets are going to arrive time aligned to an Ethernet device. So the first thing that Magoo showed me inside of Galileo is the clock option. And you set one of your Galileos as the master clock, and then you slave everything off of that clock. And then that way, when Galileo fires out a Rio packet, it's got a granular clock inside of the frame. And then that frame makes it all to all the devices. The devices are syncing their clocks up to Galileo. So now everything is time aligned and the packet comes out of each element. Well, sorry, rather the PCM sound wave that's been reassembled comes out of each element simultaneously.
So you're saying that you have a concern that, let's say, for instance, Milan output ID 1 is your upper left two boxes on the PA, and you're telling me that Milan output number two, which would be the upper two output boxes on the right side of the PA, even though they're fed with the same exact analog signal and there's nothing at all different between the two as far as any processing or any kind of insert, that they're not guaranteed to be in polarity with each other?
Yes, they're not going to be in alignment, because you can't guarantee that a TCP packet or a UDP packet is going to be received by, you know, upper left one and two and upper right one and two simultaneously get the frame cut off, reassemble the PCM data, take a slice, and hand it to the amp. That's essentially the process that happens, according to.
Well, and each slice is 1/96,000th of a second, or in 1/48,000th of a second. Is that right?
Depending on depending on the rate, right? Yeah.
Okay. So then, if you employ a master clock, that solves it and makes sure that everything is arriving at the same time at every place, right?
Because the elements have an exact granular clock and they know when it was sent, and then they've got, you know, it's got to be all built in there. But yeah, it gets aligned because all of the clocks are absolutely in sync between all of the devices. And device, I mean, a Panther element, subwoofer, whatever.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not onto something here. I just don't think that anybody I know of is addressing that particular specific issue in network driving PAs.
But do you do a master clock for your digital equipment, Kurt?
No, because it's almost always, you know, interfacing different tours and all kinds of stuff like that. So it, you know, rarely is it completely our package, you know, all at once. And we tend to drive analog anyway.
Yeah. I just need to interject to quote Lloyd Bridges in Airplane. I picked the wrong day to give up smoking marijuana. That's all I can say. Okay.
I usually say I picked the wrong life to quit drinking.
Yeah.
Oh my Kurt, God, what do you think about what Chris Cooper was saying about using the GPS clock as your master clock source?
I think if you're, I don't know, mission critical stuff makes me nervous that they're going to rely on the cloud. You know,
it's actually a satellite you're relying on. Yeah.
Well, it's still okay. It's above the clouds.
Yeah, right. It's, I mean, a satellite that's receiving the signal from the server, right?
Yeah, and I think that's because of the whole LAVO thing, where they're talking about moving the processing into the cloud, where you won't even have local plugins. You'll have a plugin that's cloud based.
How interesting. Oh, wow. I hadn't heard of that.
Seems like even more cool. Latency.
Fred asking for trouble
about it. Fred functions in that world a lot more than I do. Or malfunctions in that world a lot more than I do, however it may be.
And then
I probably the gonna have thing, two people I, and before you go on, I'm just saying, with this conversation, I'm afraid I'm gonna have two guys in black suits from Los Alamos come here to my house here. And
just on the final note, so I asked Magu what kind of switches he likes to run, and before I could even answer, ask the question, Luminex. And so he said that at the Metallica concert that he did with Luminex switches, they, after the show was over, they brought up the interface, web interface for the switch, and we're looking at the transmission statistics and so on and so forth, and they had a whole 2-hour show without dropping a packet. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've always kind of recommended, I don't think they officially endorse the Luminex, but it's always been kind of the thing. You know, that's another one of my potentially unfounded concerns I have about going with the product we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because the Luminex, at least the one that I looked at, he's like, oh yeah, we had Luminex set up, and then we had redundant power supplies in the switch, and then that way, you know, that's kind of an enterprise grade switching solution.
I mean, my perspective on it still, and I'm relaxing it to some extent, but you know, I'm very leery of intentionally introducing any more potential points of failure.
Oh, regardless
of how many people tell me it's going to be fine. I know that an XLR connector at one end and an XLR connector at the other end are going to be fine. And if they're not, you throw them in the road case and you grab another one.
Right.
And anything more complex than that is possibly introducing points of failure for not that much of a gain. The only gain is or benefit, not gain.
Wayne's holding up his XLR. I'll
go accessing there. Accessing the data.
There's mine. There it is.
But I'm pretty old school. In case nobody ever, you know, figured that out.
Well, so what are these Luminex switches?
How do you drive your rig?
Cost prohibitive.
How do you drive your rig at the theater?
Me?
Yeah.
That's a bunch of whatever, you know, Bose crap. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. But you know, it's Bose supplied switches, and that's how it gets around.
So you're driving that Bose thing over a network? You're not using analog out from the console?
No. Well. So let's give you the signal flow. Comes digital out of the, you know, AES out of the SD rack into the lake processor, out of the lake processor, AES into the Bose processor, and out of the Bose processor, I'm pretty sure it goes Dante to the amps.
Is the processor in front of house or with the amps?
Yeah, no, it's the Bose processors in front of house, the lake processors are backstage, and the amps are upstairs.
But the AES out of the lake to the input of the Bose.
Yeah, right, for sure.
And then Dante out of the Bose into the Dante inputs of each amp in the amp rack. So those
I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing, yeah.
Those are very short runs that are protected from people. The punters
Yeah.
Plus it's an install, so even the AES line is in conduit or something, right?
It's not, but it's funny quick story about the AES line. So when we first moved in there to the Westgate, they didn't have, you know, our lakes are backstage because that's the way OSA has our system configured. So that means that they needed to pick up our outputs backstage, and they didn't have any inputs backstage. The Bose processor is at the front of house mix. They were assuming we'd give them the output at the front of house mix. So we said, all right, well, what are we going to do? We need to get some kind of cable that'll get it from there to here. It's about 100 feet or so. No big deal. So the first suggestion was just use Cat 5. It works fine for AES. Have you ever done that?
Like just a regular old Cat 5? No.
Yeah, like Cat 5e or Cat 6, whatever. Some kind of cat cable. And it was like, yeah, you don't need the shield. You just use the twisted pair. Each twisted pair is an AES pair, and it works fine. Yeah, well, you know what I say to that? BS. Because we tried that for about, you know, an hour or two, and it was like snap, 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 crackle, pop constantly. And I said, okay, this is not working. We are not doing that. So I happen to have, the funny thing is I happen to have a spool of GIPCO AES audio cable. And it's like, I forget the model number of it, but it looks like 8451, if you know what Belden 8451 is.
Yeah.
It's small install cable, two conductor shielded. And I happen to have a spool of that. So I was like, let's run out the spool and see if that works. So I ran out the spool, however many times we needed for the pairs of AES signals, and that works fine. And and so I am providing the AES cable from backstage to the Bose thing.
Well, we ran into that with, so Cat 5, Cat 6 with Ethercons. If you, especially with the Midas stuff, and especially with the cheaper Midas stuff, but I think it's a universal problem. If you have different paths to ground at each end of the snake, like we ran into an old hotel that had literally the service up in the loft where you do run a house, and the stage rack to the side of the stage, they were put in 40 years apart from each other. They have different paths to ground. And those devices don't like to see, that's where the snapping and crackling and popping is coming from, is the two different paths to ground make the communication complicated and make it drop out. And the short-term solution is to undo the Ethercon shell from one end so that you only have one end that can ground to the electronics of the console or the stage rack. So if you're ever in that position and you get that and you don't have a way out, get rid of the Ethercon on the console more likely than not. And
you're talking about with a Ethercon, you know, with an RJ45 connector cable. Ethercon, I mean, yeah, and you're like Dante or some kind of signal that goes over that cable.
Yeah, or right? AES-50, like the Midas stuff.
Right. So this, in this case, they just said put AES, regular AES on each pair. So you got each Cat5 cable has four pairs, so you have four AES lines, and that didn't work.
Yeah, you have to be very careful with the color coding in your cables. So there is TIA568A and TIA568B, and then there are a couple of others, and basically that's the order of the color order of the Ethernet pairs into the RJ45. White with green, white with orange, white with blue, you know, brown with white with brown, you know, and all of it is in there. And then you crimp that connector on. So obviously the reason that twisted pair works is it's kind of like a balanced, you know, XLR cable where the twists in the wire actually help the propagation of the signal over the length of the wire. And if you don't have transmit and receive on the right color pairs, you know, like if transmits on orange and receives on a green wire, then on any kind of long run, you're definitely going to have problems.
Well, in our case, we were just simply using that type of cable, but putting XLRs on each end. So it was four XLRs on each end. That did not work. And it might be because of what Kurt was talking about the difference in the ground, but we did not connect pin one anywhere. So I kind of have my doubts about that being the factor.
Well, it could be the shell, though.
Shell wasn't connected. It wasn't connected to anything. You know what I mean? In other words, it's just an XLR on that twisted pair. So it's just pins two and three of that twisted. I mean, that twisted pair goes to pins two and three on the XLR. And that was supposedly carrying the A as a signal. And don't get me wrong, it for the most part, it worked. But then when it snapped, it snapped.
I thought that when in general grounding, and I don't know very little about networking, but in general grounding, just to get rid of interference and RF and anything else, and you just need to get rid of it to ground, it should only really be connected one end. And that's the same with audio, I was led to believe.
Yeah, but the signal being ground, that was a big thing before.
I don't know, in general, ground is just ground. And it's just getting rid of all any sort of information that's on the ground, and it doesn't get to the cables. I thought that twisted
also shielding, you know, protecting that twisted pair from being contaminated with that signal.
And I thought the twisting, and Chris might be able to, I thought twisting also helped stop some of the interference, especially on networking.
That's how they can have those, you know, whatever. There's many different manufacturers of analog snakes, quote unquote snakes, that are four pairs. And they use shielded Cat5 or whatever cable, you know, to get this four XLRs on each end. And it's really just a twisted pair. There's no shielding other than the overall shield around the four pairs, possibly. But even you can use unshielded ones and it still works fine because twisted is where it's at.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of that stuff. We use it for corporate all the time, or like golf courses where you got to go 300 feet with a little tiny cable. Stuff like
if
that.
If it's line level, it's no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that's what it was based on. Line level was based on, you know, telephones.
It's interesting.
And they went around the world. They went around the world with that analog cable. Just,
and no shielding.
You know, right. No shielding, exactly. I'm leaving, David? Okay, bye, David.
Well, this is a perfect example of what I always say. Just remember, do your own research, because everything you hear is an opinion. Okay, so now back to the conversation about wires, twist and pair, and clocking. Thank you.
I want to know what Charo is going to order for dinner.
I
probably hot
she's
tamales.
She's probably
going right?
to get hot tamales. Yeah, hot tamales. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nicely played.
Nicely played. Yes, yes, yes. Wish I had a mustache right now. I go. Okay, so.
So how about that? How about that ship? How about that ship crashing into a bridge? Is that amazingly crazy or what?
It
the problem
it
is that
like
their clocking was off. That was it. Their GPS clock was off. That's it.
I actually have a weird connection, or had one. My ex-wife's family company is the largest auto logistics company in the world. So if you buy a car, it came through them to get to you, whether by rail or ship or anything like that. And one of the biggest ports for all auto imports within the entire world is Baltimore.
And yeah, I just
they're going to going to massively impact the supply chain for automobiles. Like you're not going to even believe if you have a car on order, you're not getting it now.
Well, it's also
is that right? You're pretty certain of that, huh? That's not your opinion. You're pretty certain.
No, they just they announced it on the news. I forget the count, but
they didn't say what Kurt said though.
40,000 vehicles that are just like maroon now in Baltimore.
And those are the ones that are already there. That doesn't count for the ones that are on the way there that are going
to
come into port.
So they're going to reroute that. They're going to reroute that almost. Yeah, but they've already rerouted it.
Well, the only ports, there may be one that they control in Florida. Otherwise, it's got to go to West Coast. And the thing is, it's so land intensive. I mean, I know all this from back when I was part of that family, but the logistics of storing the vehicles requires so much land that there's no way you can just decide, oh, let's take them to Miami, because the land isn't going to be there to put the cars. There's nowhere to put them when you take them off the ships.
Well, in Los Angeles, they have a lot of cars. I know out by the docks.
Yeah, that's
they have
their
a
company.
Lot of cars.
That's their company. But those, see, they're committed to certain manufacturers. So if there's an entire ship full of Hyundais coming into Baltimore, they're not going to go to the General Motors lot in L.A.
Yeah.
It's very
it's a crazy thing that, you know, who would have thought that one boat could hit a piling on a bridge and boom, it's down.
That's my point. That's my point. That's what I was saying. Is it's like amazing, like unbelievable, like incredibly horrible.
But there's concrete
barriers
around it that are supposed to be like the post that keeps you from backing into your furnace in the garage. And those just fell over like nothing, because, you know, that ship weighed a billion tons or something.
Oh God.
Yeah, a lot.
It was going nine knots. It was trying to, you know, get up to speed to get out under the bridge and go, you know, it was underway significantly. It wasn't just kind of moving slow. It was nine knots. So that kind of momentum.
Yeah, and then they lost their power evidently, or something. Well, we don't know.
How does a ship lose power? That's pretty crazy. Does that happen?
Saying now that they're saying that when the ship was at port for 2 days during the time that it was at port, it was experiencing power issues.
And it's just horrible. I mean, just imagine you're on the construction team that's working on that ship. I mean, not ship, on the bridge. You're working on the bridge. You're doing your thing at 2 a.m. and you're just working away. And next thing you know, you're not.
You're dead.
It's just friggin' horrible. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you would be dead before you got into the water because of the shock of the bridge totally collapsing like that. It's just so, like, unbelievable. I just was like, oh my God, it just blows my mind that the complexity of that situation. And it's just great that they did send out a mayday so that the amount of cars on the bridge was minimized, but still.
Well, it was 1 o'clock
I heard it was a semi driving on the bridge that went right in the water.
Yeah,
you imagine driving in a semi and then all of a sudden you get catapulted, you're dead. I mean, it's just nuts. Oh my God.
Well, I think about that at the time, you know, when you talk about that, remember that big earthquake, the Calabasas earthquake, I think it was what it was, and the police officer was on his motorcycle and the highway just disappeared while he was driving. You know, that's the same
sort of thing. Yeah. Insane. Just totally crazy.
But anyway, is there a good way to die? I guess, is there a good way to die?
The good way to die is in your sleep. Yeah, just like you're staying asleep, that's all. But the point is that was just such a, an incredible coincidence or an incredible accident. That just doesn't happen. And by the way, tell me if you guys have heard this also, is that port, this dock, I mean, port or whatever, wherever they call that area where they're, near the land, they provide the captain to get that ship to and from the port until they get out.
They had Port Authority pilots on the bridge steering the boat.
On the bridge? The bridge of the boat.
Oh, no, the bridge of the vessel.
The bridge as in the key bridge.
Yeah, no.
The vessel. Port Authority pilot.
To get them in and out of the harbor.
It wasn't an operator error. I mean, it's obviously a massive electrical failure that made them lose. You see the lights go completely out. It wasn't like they lost just the rudder. They lost everything, and then they got it back. Lost it again.
And then did you see the big puff of smoke when they got the power back? Because I heard that was the thrusters trying to go backwards.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw the puff. I didn't know that that's what was supposed to be happening there. Wow.
Yeah, well, they were completely helpless, but the reality is it should never have happened. And fortunately for everybody concerned is that it happened in the middle of the night rather than at rush hour.
Oh,
then it would have been unbelievable disaster.
Well, it's going to take a year just to get all that stuff out of there and to get the bridge back at least. So economically, it's going to be an unbelievable disaster.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, fortunately, I heard that it's not going to be so bad for those people living in Baltimore because they have other ways to get around, other tunnels. But it is going to be a problem for trucking transportation because dangerous cargo can't go through the tunnels. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to reroute those dangerous cargo trucks, and that's going to be a problem for them.
You bet.
Anyway, it's crazy. We're living in a crazy time, in a crazy, crazy time. But by the way, now for you guys living in anywhere who own a house, did you hear about this whole thing about the National Association of Realtors, that they're going to now eliminate that 6% and now it's completely negotiable? No matter what. So now it's basically what they were doing. Just so you know, I was a realtor for a while and I sold real estate, and there is no way you can discuss your commissions. It's illegal to discuss commissions, but everybody knew that it was 6%. So it was something that was already known. And, you would, 3% to the buyer's agent, 3% to the seller's agent. And then if you negotiated it down with your realtor, where you were only getting 2%, people weren't motivated into selling your house, And that they found that as part of a lawsuit of $418 million. And now everybody can negotiate anything they want as far as commissions go with selling your home.
Well, what do you guys think of that? Are you saying you could not negotiate in the past?
Well, you could, but they would always say the same thing. Well, it's 3%. That's the standard of the industry, and that's how we handle it, And if you go lower, the selling agents would rather sell a house where they're going to make 3% than the selling agents make a sale where they only make 1.5% or 2%.
Well, I think it was not allowed to be discussed or something.
Well, you could not discuss it between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent. That was illegal. At least in California and Nevada. I'm not sure about the rest of the states, but I'm pretty sure that was the deal. And even though, this has to do with home buying, not with commercial property, because the National Association of Realtors only deals with homes, to the best of my knowledge. But maybe not. I don't know. Do your own research. But anyway, so if you're selling your house, now you can negotiate your commission because the standard commission of 6% is no longer the standard commission.
But there were for example, the online realtors like Redfin advertised that they would do it for less all the time.
Well, I believe that Redfin was the agent on both sides for people. That Redfin was making all the money. They weren't sharing it with anybody.
I thought it was just a less expensive way to sell your house.
It's the other mind-blowing article that I read. Again, I have to find out if it's true. Do you know, anybody here can guess what percentage of single-family dwellings are owned by private equity investment firms in the United States?
Mind-blowing. They went crazy. In Las Vegas, they just did something like a couple of $1 billion worth of sales, and they own thousands and thousands 40, of homes.
44% of the U.S. housing market is owned by BlackRock and Company. And they're going over 50 this year. They're going to hit around 66.
And what is it that they do with those? They rent out those properties?
They rent them out.
Yeah, that's why the rents are going so high. And it's hard to find a place to live for people.
Who's calling me every day to see if I'll take an offer on my house?
How many are you getting a day?
Two.
Oh, I'm getting more than that. I'm getting 3 to 4. I guess my marketplace is a little bit more exciting. And I just say the same thing when they call up. I say, fuck you. And then fucking hang up the phone. Because I don't want, look, I know that these people that are just doing a job. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want them doing that job. I hate the fact that they're interrupting me, especially because of the time shift difference for me. And you're on an important phone call, or you're talking to somebody, all of a sudden you get another call and the number looks familiar, so you say, oh, hold on for one second, and then it's some guy saying, hello, I want to buy your house, or boom, and that's when I get ballistic with these people, and I know you guys thought I was a nice guy. Unbelievable. Oh, I blew my cover. Oh well. I'd rather have it than need it, than have it. That's all I could say.
Yeah, well, I'd rather have it and have dinner and not need it. So I got to go. There's a four-legged friends of mine that need some dinner, and they'd rather have it than not and not need it than need it and not have it. So I got to need it and not have it myself. So I'm going to say goodbye to you all, and thanks for the conversation. It was very interesting.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks for all that interesting stuff about the clocks, Christopher.
Are the dogs clocked correctly so they all get to the dish at the same time?
They have the internal clock that is pretty accurate. Pretty accurate. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, when it's 7 o'clock.
Are any of your dogs named Pavlov? Did you name any of your dogs Pavlov?
No. Anyway, so I'm going to say au revoir, and I'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Ring the bell, and the dogs will salivate. There we go.
There you go. So anyway, listen, I want you to know there's March Madness going on. If you're not following it, I know one person in this room that is following it, and I asked her to talk about it. So, Tina, tell us a little bit about March Madness.
Okay, Jan. College playoffs for both men and women's, where the best of the best play against each other. Did anybody pick any brackets this year?
No, but I heard some guy picked an amazing bracket, like the best bracket ever. Was picked by some guys this year.
Oh, there
Fred,
was.
Fred, do you do any of these college games? Are you doing any of these college games?
No bad news.
I did the last Pac-12 tournament in Vegas a couple weeks ago, but I don't have any more scheduled.
Isn't the final four being held in? Or no, the championship being held in Arizona?
Yes.
Are you going to be working
left up having?
No, I'm not working that one. I'm pretty busy between Suns and hockey and medical shows. And actually, I might be coming to Florida at the end of April if I can cover a show on April 26th. I might be coming to Miami. So, just going to look up Mr. Baker.
Yes, he's up in Tampa, the Bay Area, though, not Miami. He's up in Tampa. which is a little bit further away. But yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, does anybody know who's projected to be what's the number one seed that's projected to go all the way and win the championship?
No idea. Well,
there's four number one seeds. Because you have the East, the South, the Midwest, and the West brackets that all come together.
So there's not one team that wins it all?
There is, but there's four
divisions.
There's four divisions that have four number one seeded teams.
So that but they don't go when the four divisions never come together as one.
They do, and then division. They play for the championship.
Yeah, only at the championship level. Only at the champion.
That's why it's called the Final Four.
Yeah.
Oh, there you have it. So there's not a Final One. There's only a Final Four.
No. After the Final Four play, the winners of...
There are two games, and then the winner of those two games play each other in the Grand Championship, and that's it.
Well, then why don't they call it the Final One? That's it. I mean, really, it goes down to one, you know?
Well, the stupid bowl is already taken.
Yes. There you go. Well, hey, there you go. And I bet there's a lot of gambling going on with this stuff. What do you think?
Oh, you bet.
Yep. A lot of gambling. By the way, did you hear that Visa and MasterCard reached a $30 billion settlement over credit card fees? And so if you were a merchant like we are, you might be getting a little bit of money back in the next couple of years. Over this, because basically I just took a credit card for a large amount of funds, 28,006, and they charged me 4.2%, which was insane. I went ballistic on this thing, 4.2%.
And of commission on the charge.
Yeah, on the charge. Yeah. Plus a 25% one-time fee, which, you know, with the processing. And I went nuts. I said, hey, how could it possibly be 4.2%? That's crazy. And, of course, they explained to me how they do it. It didn't make any sense to me. Anyway, I got them to give me back a little bit of that discount money so that we didn't lose all of that. But that was insane.
Oh, yeah. Even well, QuickBooks is 1%.
I've been still using the old version of QuickBooks.
Yeah. But if you're, you know, if you're billing a lot of sales, you know, 1% can add up 4%. Wow, that's gigantic. I mean,
that's too much. 4.2, not just 4.2. I was insane about that. I went like, I mean, really, I just, all I could see was red, you know, but anyway. That, so I'm glad that they lost that much money, you know. So congratulations to the people who the class action suit, and we'll probably get some money out of that back. But you know what, speaking of money, and I can't believe this is almost unbelievable to me, that the CEO of Boeing that just said he's stepping down. Now there are four people that are leaving Boeing, and they should have left years and years ago. In the last 3 years, this guy has made $63 million with a M, $63 million. This guy, Dave Calhoun, how does a guy like that sleep at night knowing that he's taking the money for the bolts in his salary? And unbelievable.
They don't care.
You know what I heard? I heard the guy sitting next to the window on Alaska lost his shoes because he probably took his shoes off, went out the window. That had been scary.
Yeah. Okay, Dan, what I need from you, my friend, is the very best recipe for Thai red curry paste.
I'll have to ask Bo for that. I don't do any of the cooking around here. Bo does all the cooking. Bo, you know, that's her job. My job is to, you know, relax all day, do nothing, and she does it all. That's it. You know.
Where are you anyway? What's the whole, it's a whole different background.
We are in a city called Hua Hin, Which is about 2.5 hours south of Bangkok right now. We'll only be here for another couple. We've been here 3 weeks. We're looking for a place to rent. We found the place, and I believe that on the 15th of April, whenever that works out, that is when we will be in our new location. So next week we'll be back in Phuket, Rawai, but right now we're in an Airbnb here in the city of Hoa Hin. And it's unbelievably beautiful here. Last night I went for a motorcycle ride, and it's like I was on these country roads with all these fields, and it just smells great. And oh, it's invigorating. It's like great to be alive. And there's hardly anybody on the roads out here. And it's,
well, yeah, God,
it's,
what kind of bike do you got?
Well, it's actually a Honda PCX. It's 160cc. It's actually called a motorbike, not a motorcycle. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun when you're on. And, you know, where I am in Phuket, the traffic is crazy. You can't go with that. You can't really drive anywhere, no matter what time, day or night, without being in traffic. And so here it hasn't hit. And the beautiful part about this city is that this is where the king number 9, now they're up king number 10, but king number 9 used to come here for the summers. And so all the infrastructure to the city is that of a huge city, but there's only a handful of people living here, and it's really amazing. I love it here. So, but don't come. By the way, if anybody does come, don't come, but if you do come, we will have a beautiful guest room for you here at Landyland, Thailand. So you'll be able to come and stay with us. All right. Anyway, Ken Porter, how you doing?
He's cooking.
I've been going crazy. I just came in, got in. I've been on the phone, a lot of meetings today. So it's just trying to catch up. And yeah, I was just getting ready to start. I stopped by Chick-fil-A to get some grilled chicken nuggets, and that's what I was going to make dinner with tonight.
By the way, I got some bad news for you with Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A has been using non-steroided chickens. So no antibiotics ever, but they can't get enough chickens anymore. So they're going to have to now, Chick-fil-A said it will transition to a sourcing chicken fed with antibiotics this spring. So get all the chicken you can in right now, because shortly you're going to be eating antibiotic chicken.
It also right depends on where, because was it one of the big producers just went away from not using antibiotics?
Yeah. Well, they can't get enough chickens. I'm sure, there's such a demand for Chick-fil-A and all of the chicken products that are out there. I mean, even McDonald's has a chicken sandwich. And by the way, in case you didn't know this, now you're going to be able to get Krispy Kreme donuts at McDonald's. They just made a deal
with chicken.
Krispy Kreme and McDonald's. Yeah, their new flavor is chicken McKrispy Kreme, you know. So there you go.
Probably tried it.
You know, so I am looking forward to seeing how fat you can get from eating McDonald's.
Have you seen the cheeseburgers? They've got the cheeseburgers that have a donut as the bun.
Oh my God. Oh, here they've got that. They have Roscoe's chicken and waffles. Chicken and waffles.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. They have two locations, right?
Yeah, and there's another place called Bruce Wiffle over here on Wilshire and they do fantastic waffles, and then they'll put anything on top of your waffle you want. So my boys were getting spicy chicken on top of their waffle. They would go crazy. Yeah. It was delicious.
Cool. Hey, Ken, Ken Porter, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. So, I'm just rummaging.
Do you know who Bill Lee is?
Bill Lee, as in the governor of Tennessee.
That's correct. So I'm very impressed at what they did in Tennessee. And I don't know if you know. I don't know if you guys know about it, but Tennessee is now makes AI an outlaw to protect country music and more. So from now on, you can't basically. Governor Lee on this Thursday or last Thursday, because it's Wednesday, so a week before, signed the first in the nation bill to prevent the use of artificial intelligence to copy a performer's voice. As what's are people talking about that there in Nashville?
I haven't, but I've been so buried. But what's interesting is because Apple and Amazon Music both have major major server farms and studios and stuff. They put stuff together here, so I'm really wondering how that's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a brilliant idea, you know, that, you know, it's illegal in Tennessee to copy of anybody's voice, you know, and so, I mean, it's great. I think artificial intelligence, you know, there are people that say that artificial intelligence is going to kill us, you know, it's going to take over the world. I mean, some of these robots that I see are very, very scary, super scary. It's like Terminator. Have you seen those, Chris?
I haven't, but I've just kind of, in my position is that as a species, and you know, as humans in America, we're not as smart as we used to be.
Yeah, I'm more worried about natural stupidity than artificial.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, if you go back and read, you know, the Federalist Papers or any stuff back in the 17s and 1800s, even the 1900s, you know, early 1900s, people were really smart. And had an excellent command of vocabulary and critical thinking and all of those skills, and were writing and doing science. And it just seems now that, God, you run into people or you hear about people and it's like, wow, they just don't get anything.
Well, they used to know.
You're 100% correct. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why Costco is now selling gold bars and silver coins, because they figure, you know, hey, You better have something in the reserve when things go really to shit, you know? I haven't been to a Costco in a long time. Has anybody seen the gold bars in Costco?
No, I saw that they had a bottle of whiskey in Los Angeles for $46,000.
There you go, you know.
At Costco.
Just to quote P.T. Barnum one more time this week, you know, there's a sucker born every minute and two to take them, you know. That's about the size of it. So can anybody tell me in this room what's going on with Sean Diddy Combs? What's happening with this guy? What's the story? What is going on with this guy?
Apparently they raided simultaneously two of his homes, and they didn't arrest him there. It's apparently, you know, has to do with human trafficking or, you know, this kind of thing. But it was the at least the account of the raid was that they were less than cordial with his kids and the other bystanders. They handcuffed his kids. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And he was very, very upset about it.
Yeah, I would be too. And it's not even my kids. But you know, what the hell? So, I mean, people are crazy these days. They just arrested this guy in New York State. They found he had a 750-pound alligator as a pet. And he called it Albert. Could you believe it? I mean, that's insane.
No, that's his emotional support album, you know, animal. You know, you should try to bring it on board an aircraft. That would have been the best.
Yeah.
You know, like tape up the snout and get like a nice harness for it and just walk it through the building.
That'd be a very snappy pet.
even Wayne doesn't have a pet like that, you know?
Too snappy for me.
There you go. I don't know if you've seen some of these photos down in Florida, like where people are out kind of in the morning, early golfing, and there's like, it looks like a T-Rex crossing the fairway, and it's just a gigantic, like 14 or 16 foot alligator. And they're
last year I saw this guy, his dog got eaten. He was an alligator grabbed his dog and he jumped in the water and started fighting the alligator to save the dog, and he ended up saving the dog.
About himself.
He ended up saving the dog, you know. He saved the
unreal
dog.
Unreal.
Well, could you believe it? The hour really went by. I mean, you know, we were talking about clocks, and boom, the second hand kept ticking, and we are now 1 hour into the show, and I would say to you that it's time to go off the air and talk amongst ourselves, so we can talk about the real shit that we want to talk about, that we're not worried about other people hearing. So let's do that. But before we do, does anybody have anything else they want to talk about other than clocking?
Yeah, why can't I put a file in the chat?
I have no idea.
It says not allowed because of administrator settings.
I'll see if I could, once we go off the air, I'll change that setting if it's already set that way. So, but nobody on the air could hear or see a chat file anyway. So it doesn't matter. Anybody else have anything they want to say?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I've just finished watching the Australian Idol 2024, and the last two seasons, but this season was just great. It was a really, really good production all round. Artists were good, judges, band, mix, everything was great, in my opinion. So I'd just like to say that congratulations to a good show for 2024.
Well, very good. Well, listen, thank you so much for adding that to the show. And we really do appreciate knowing what's going on in the world of Wayne Sims, because you are an important person to me. I don't know about anybody else.
We don't know about anybody else.
I like you, Wayne. You know, I like you. I like
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jay.
I like you.
I don't think anyone else.
Anybody else? Anybody else have anything they want to say about Wayne? No, I'm only kidding. Anybody have anything else to say? Okay. Well, with that in mind, we will tell you this. Just remember, you make it happen. I'll repeat that again later. Everything you heard today was an opinion. This was our 201 meeting of Thinking Out Loud with Friends, although it used to be called something else. Now we're Thinking Out Loud with Friends. Today we talked about so many different things. I'm not going to recapitulate it for you. You're just going to have to listen to it and watch the show notes or whatever you're going to do. Just stay safe and stay healthy. And remember, you make it happen. So do your own research. Everything that you heard today was an opinion. And with that, we'll see you again next week. Same time, same channel. And just like I say, you make it happen. Go out and have a great week. And now, if only I could figure out how to go off the air. Ah, there it is. There's the button right there. With that, bye for now. Thank you for watching. And we are off the air. And where is it? Stop recording. Boom. Done.